Thank you. If you all will join me for an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have given us, for your protecting hand over us. We ask, Lord, that you grant us wisdom this day, that the decisions that we make would be within your will and with the wisdom that you provide. We ask this in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Commissioner Strahan, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Are there any commission remarks before we begin this morning? Accounts payable.
Move to approve checks numbers 340114 through 340150 and two transfers.
Is there a second?
Yes, I'll second with those transfers from Road and Bridge to the transfer station and Road and Bridge to what?
One is transferred from transfer station to Road and Bridge, and then the other is from Building and Grounds to Road and Bridge.
Okay.
For mowing.
Right. I second the motion.
Motion's made and seconded to approve checks number 340114 through 340150 and two transfers from transfer station R&B and from B&G to R&B. Both are for work that was completed. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed nay. Motion carries. Next order of business is previous meeting minutes, both regular session and executive session.
Will do that. Good then.
Move to approve previous meeting minutes dated 6-9, 6-12, 6-16, and 6-19.
Second, with corrections.
With corrections.
Motion's made and seconded to approve County Commission minutes dated 6-9, 6-12, 6-16, and 6-19 with corrections. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Move to approve executive session minutes dated June 5th and June 9th.
Second.
And there were no corrections.
Motion's made and seconded to approve executive sessions dated June 5th and 9th. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Next order of business, we have a monthly update from MoDOT. Beth, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Did you get my license today or
did I have to
go there?
Oh, yeah.
I can go over here.
Either place.
I just was checking.
Where the other
one? Don't want to get
trouble. We're minus a mic. I don't know where it's at, but.
It's over here, Dan.
Well,
that's okay. You're all set.
I'm set. Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope you all had a good weekend. I listened to one of your commercials on the radio, and I thought, I wish they make Frontline for people, because
they
I kind of got into the chiggers this weekend.
They do.
So.
It's not called Frontline.
I want something I can just put on once a month and be good to go. Probably don't want the side effects, but...
it would be nice.
It would be very nice.
You might have a third eye, but that's all right.
This could be adaptable. This last week, we finished up the overlay on 76 that started in Branson and went over to Branson West. It took them a little while to get that done. That was a mill. They milled up the existing asphalt and then refilled it back with asphalt. They've still got a little bit of striping, and I think the loop detection at all the signals, they're still working on that, but they're done with the asphalt overlay. So that'll be good. We were doing that work at night because of the volumes, so we could avoid disruptions to traffic. I think I had one phone call during that time where a gentleman that operated a business at Indian Point was still concerned that we were starting work too early and impacting his business. So. We have to keep that in mind when we're dealing with tourism, usually at night work in Springfield or somewhere large, that starting at 7 o'clock it works pretty good, but around here sometimes that's a little too early. So we're learning. But that project is basically complete. We survived the PGA tournament. We had several personnel that were involved with just making sure everything was looking good, you know, striped and patched and mowed and everything else. And then we actually had three gentlemen with our traffic division that were down from Thursday on just monitoring the traffic signals. I think with the rain and everything, traffic was a little more spread out, so we really didn't have any issues. But at the time, we didn't know that, so we wanted to be prepared. So we dedicated some personnel to that all weekend. But that went well. Some of the things that our maintenance folks have been doing, obviously they've been doing a lot of mowing, a lot of spraying, that type of maintenance, a lot of tree trimming. One of the things that we have had complaints about a lot in the last year since we got that 160 overlay done was that the turn lanes at some of these locations that we added are very narrow, and it just happens that almost every one of those intersections is on a curve. So our maintenance folks came in and actually added a rumble to the stripe so that people wouldn't migrate over into the turn lane, and I've gotten some positive feedback on that. You know, that's an added feature that we could do. We really couldn't come back in. We don't have the funding to come back in and make the turn lanes any wider. We had to stay within right of way. So that was, we worked with what we had. So we added those, and I hope that helps out the community quite a bit. I did get an email the other day, a gentleman very concerned about the condition of 160 in eastern Taney County. The Kissy Mill area and on over clear over to Gainesville. We do have plans to address that. What happened there was a couple years ago when we put that overlay down, we put it down late in the year, and it was a asphalt mix design that we had kind of been pushing the envelope as far as recycling and the amount of recycled asphalt and shingles and things that we could put in the mix to try to bring down prices, you know, to try to be as conservative as possible. And so it worked fine for us all over the state, but unfortunately we found the limits of that mix design. Journeyman laid it late in the season. It was cool, it was wet, it failed. We have been patching on it ever since, and so we have plans with, in conjunction with the Southeast District, from Gainesville over to the southern junction of 125 and 160. They have plans to actually put a seal coat on that by contract this summer, probably be August or September. But they're bidding that work this month. And then we have plans to overlay 160 and 125 in that eastern Taney County area next year. So we knew we were going to have to come back and fix it. We just had to get it in the budget because we didn't have the money to get it cycled in this year, so we're cycling in next year. So I didn't want you to think that it was going to stay that way forever. And I did respond to that gentleman's email and let him know what was going on. So, another thing that I've been looking at in the county was had a concern. Gentleman's contacted me a couple of times about our low water crossing on Route J. I did take maintenance out to look at that. We don't have a lot of options there. We don't have the funding to put in a bridge. There's a business right fairly close to that low water crossing we'd probably impact if we had the money. So, but we just don't have the funding for that. They are going to try to clean out the pipes under that low water crossing because that particular area has a lot of gravel. And so those pipes tend to gravel in. We're going to try to get those cleaned out a little bit better than we usually do. Usually we just come out there with a backhoe or a trackhoe, and not a trackhoe, a backhoe or a loader, and try to clean up as much gravel as we can. But we really can't get into the pipes. We're going to try to get a pipe cleaning machine down from one of our other areas and get those pipes cleaned out. And hopefully that will at least limit the frequency of the road being underwater and perhaps the length of time that it stays underwater. The other thing that we're doing, and I know that the commissioners are all aware of this, that we've had some open houses where we're presenting the list of projects that we were required to put together for the proposed 3/4-cent sales tax, which is now Amendment 7. We had three open houses last week. We started with Branson, we went to Joplin, and we went to Springfield. This week, we are adding an additional three open houses in Monette, Bolivar, and Butler. We had some people concerned that they couldn't get to those other three events, so we've added some events. We formed the list, started working to get public input last year as far as our long-range plan, but to kind of get a feel for what the public wanted. And then we started working with our regional planning commissions, RPCs, back in January, whenever we heard that the legislature was putting this forward again this year, because we knew we would have to have a list together. So we formed that list, and that's been presented. And it has to, we're taking public comments until July 3rd, so we've got a couple more weeks of that. And then on July 9th, our Highway Commission will meet to approve that list, and then it'll become the official list that will be out for the public, so they'll know exactly what the 3/4-cent sales tax would pay for. The proposal itself is a 3/4-cent sales tax. It would be a state sales tax, so it'd be similar to what the state does now, which is that it does not tax groceries, medicine, or gasoline. 10-year sunset, accountability with our list, because we have to have the list together and it's a 10-year sunset. The money cannot be redirected to any other source other than transportation. It goes into a separate fund. It does not go into the general fund. So, the legislature's done a good job of writing up a bill that will protect those funds and make sure they do go to transportation. So, and we're thankful that they've brought something forward, because we have been saying for quite a while now that we're going to need funding. So, I think that's all I had on my list, gentlemen. You got anything for me?
A quick question. The public's ability to address you all up until July 3rd.
Yes.
Do you think that any input, and I'm asking this not facetiously,
I understand.
Really would like to know.
I think I know what's coming.
We could provide input that would change what's currently being proposed.
I think what and I haven't seen a lot of commentary, to be honest. But what we thought, if we get several comments in, we would take them back to our planning partners, the RPCs, because they're the ones that brought forward the list, and we'd say, hey, this particular project, either people are very unhappy about it, or this particular project didn't make the cut and they really feel strongly that they want this project. But we would do that, and then we would see what their input is. because if we put a project on the list that wasn't, that means we got to bump somebody else.
Right.
And so then you're going back, you know, you've got to find a way to not really bump somebody off the list, because then you'd have to start the process again. So then we'd have to find ways to cut the cost of those other projects to fit another project onto the list, if that was the type of commentary we got back. If we get commentary back that a project is just not hitting the mark, then we would discuss with our RPCs and see if they wanted to modify that or you know, do some changes to, you know, maybe we didn't capture the right area, or maybe we just, you know, failed to, we're looking at the bridge, but people wanted us to also look at a pedestrian trail or something up to the bridge, things like that. And we would just have to see if we could find the funding. That would be the big thing, you know, because we had to put numbers to all of this when we formed the list. And so to try to find additional funding within that scope would probably be a challenge. But yeah, I think we've got a process set up where if we do get enough comments, that we would definitely be able to look at them and address them. To us, it's no different than when we put together the five-year plan and we put it out for comments. We do that every year. And every once in a while, you'll have something come along that people are very passionate about, and you just miss the mark and you've got to regroup. So it's not, you know, it's not something we're not familiar with or haven't done before. Now, normally we approve our statewide transportation improvement plan, the five-year STIP, in July. And I did read a note that the commission is considering delaying that because they didn't want to approve this list and the STIP in the same meeting and have people get confused about what's commitments and what's on the list that might get voted on. So I think they may move the STIP approval until August, just to avoid confusion. Because those are two separate lists.
Oh, I know.
Well, the STIP is actually, you know, a volume of information, but we just don't want there to be any confusion about what we've already committed to. Because I get a lot of people asking me about Bull Shoals, and I said, that's a commitment. We've already committed to that. That work will occur in 2017. So, but I had and a good example of what's on the new list is like overlays on Route T and Route YY. Yeah, can't talk today. YY. And 76, you know, I thought we were going to be able to overlay 76 from Branson to Forsyth in the next year or two, and then they started looking at the budget, and we just didn't have the funding in there to get it done. And so it's been put off for a few years, kind of into that vague area of you know, 4 years out. So it's on the 3/4 cent list, because then it would be a commitment, where in the STIP, we just kind of have a pool of funds out in the fourth or fifth year that I'm assuming maybe 76 will come out of, but it's not a commitment yet. So it gets a little confusing. Probably just to me.
Our transportation board have a list of priorities that are mm-hmm. Combined with a combination of state funds and county funds for certain projects. Does that have any basic priority as far as us being a county, and we have a transportation board that surveys the needs of that's interesting that you brought up the overlay on East 76. The numerous accidents that have taken place there within the last month. If nothing else, Beth, I would like for you to look at that.
Okay, I wasn't aware we had an issue, so I'm glad
we
you
have,
brought it up.
We have had 4 days in a row there were serious accidents on that road, and then last week, again, we had a couple, and I would like for you to...
Were they between Forsyth and Branson? Mm-hmm. There wasn't like a specific area. Was
no.
There? Okay, so it was
no.
Throughout
the road
the
is just the volume of traffic.
It yeah,
is. It's just absolutely. The road wasn't designed to handle that much traffic.
No, and we're more than aware of that. We would love, you know, some of the things that are on my want list is and trying to be practical, but still we don't have the money for it, but. I would love to see us extend the three-lane section. You know, we've got some turn lanes and stuff there at you know, in various areas, but I'd love to see that go all the way through from Lakeshore on up through at least Route T. But we, you know, it's not something we've got the funding for. I would love to see us three lane out here on 160. That was on the list of county priorities and ranked fairly high, but then when we went and met the your Regional Planning Commission, SEMCOG, you know, they had to vote, and it was 10 counties, and it, you know, you just had to keep cutting because there's only so much money. Obviously, the Branson project fared well. We had different categories that were in the list, and so the Branson 76 project ranked well because it had a transit component, a pedestrian component, and a roadway component. So the group voted as a whole to award some money in each one of those categories. And so they did, that project ranked fairly well. There was a lot of focus on economic development within the groups is what we saw. It seemed to be a big concern for all of the groups. The projects that seemed to rank high, you know, they had a lot of them had a safety component in them, but they really seemed focused on economic development because, I guess, just because of what we've been through in the last few years. So,
the fact that we had a school bus have the whole front end knocked out from under it Friday, I believe it was, fortunately there wasn't, it was going to pick up children instead of coming back to with a load of children on it.
Was this on 76 again?
Yes, East 76. It's just something I think the state ought to look at because there's just numerous accidents on that road, and to even get on the road of a morning or evening is difficult. It's difficult to do. And so I'd like to
we can look at it from
have you look at
standpoint.
That from a safety standpoint.
But I can tell you we know that route has several accidents on it, and the solution is probably to add more capacity and add shoulders, and those are two things that we don't have the funding for.
Right.
We estimate that it takes us about $485 million to maintain the roadway system in Missouri in a year, and we are going to be down to $325 million in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just maintenance. That's not adding shoulders. That's not adding capacity. That's not improving an intersection. That's just overlaying roads and fixing bridges.
Yeah.
So, we're in the spot. You know, we haven't raised the gas taxes since 92.
One thing I know is 13 North, when it was having so many problems up around this side of the Bolivar outfit there where they were having numerous accidents, and the state it made the news so much that the state got involved and improved that particular area. You don't hear about the deadly. I believe there was two deaths in this stretch of time where the accidents have happened on East 76. So if there would be a need or a someone that had to testify to, but if you look, I mean, I know all those locations are highway patrol record of the seriousness of the accident, and I'd like to see, you know, something addressed in the future on it. I'm just making you aware of it so that
well, I appreciate
because you're
it,
the person.
I wasn't aware we'd had that many accidents out there.
Yes, it's almost out of hand as far as many accidents we have. And we have our sheriff's department patrols it good and everything else. It's just a matter of just too much traffic for what kind of a road it is.
We have, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Highway 160 from Willard to Springfield, that community definitely perceives that road as dangerous. Yeah. I know they've had some serious accidents since I was in high school. I mean, it's one of those things that it's sporadic, but they've had what we would call a super two, which is a nice two lane with shoulders, but that's it. You know, nothing beyond the two lanes for years and years. During this process of the 3/4 cent, we had each county had their meetings to select their projects and make recommendations. And I didn't attend the Willard meeting, but I was told that the Greene County meeting, which included Willard, had over 100 residents that showed up at that meeting just for Willard. And their project did rank high within that group and within the voting block once they got to the point where they had to put money on the table. And it mainly was because they showed a very definite interest in what was going on.
Right.
So it does matter.
And if we need to do that, I think we can get everybody.
But I'll be honest, you know, they're showing up to a meeting for a tax increase that we don't know whether it's going to happen or not, and we don't have a solution for that community if this doesn't happen. I don't have any money to direct their way. We don't have any money to direct their way. So I think they realize that, and that's why they turned out in such force at that meeting. So, but we will look at it definitely, and if there's anything we can do in the interim, we do have small pools of safety money that the Federal Highway Department specifically sets aside for safety, but it's the kind of money that, you know, makes a spot improvement, you know, an intersection improvement or that type of thing. It's not a systemic, well, we can use it systemically if we add, say, the 2-foot shoulders, but it's not going to get you, you know, 6 or 8 foot shoulders. It's not going to get you capacity improvements. So, but we will take a look at it. And I knew we had issues out there before, but I hadn't heard anything recently. So.
Yeah. It's
Beth, how is the state allocating the monies from the 3/4-cent sales tax?
As far as where it goes?
Yes.
In our region, because each region chose what methods, you know, which projects they wanted and how they wanted to allocate it. In our region, it's 85% towards road and bridge. And then the remaining 15%, about 10 of that was pedestrian. And then we had a little bit for rail and a little bit for aviation.
Let me restate the question. Are the regions equal in the amount of dollars that they're going to receive?
Oh, no. No. The regions are under the same formula that we use for major projects, which is based on the number of people in the region, the number of people employed in the region, and the number of vehicle miles traveled within the region. And those percentages are all added together to, you know, each percentage is whatever percent of the whole is what you get. So we are at about 15% for the state. Some of the other rural areas are at less than 10, and then the urban areas are a little bit between the Kansas City and St. Louis area. They're a little bit over 50% of the pie, but they're also over 50% of the population. And
I understand.
It's where the money comes in, and it's where the money will go back out to support that structure. So.
There's going to be a lot of money that's going to be generated in this county.
I understand
that's
that.
It's not going to come back to this county.
Yeah. You guys, unfortunately for this region, we happen to be it's good for the region, but unfortunately under this formula, we happen to be a large generator of sales tax revenue. It's not that way for most counties.
Yeah, right.
The good thing is that we did recognize the importance of several projects down here. There wasn't a lot of money to go around when they started. You know, we only got, when you start dividing the money up, it's $480 million a year that goes to the state, would be $27 million that goes to the counties, $27 million that goes to the cities. That's under the current estimate. Our share, the rural area of our district, which is 21 counties, so basically you take Greene County and a little bit of Christian County out of that, our share was about $42 million a year. When you start cutting it down and cutting it down, that got us to about $42 million. Of that, the Branson Spirit of 76 project got about $13 million, which was a significant amount of money. Some of the other areas that received funding were the Highway 60 corridor from Republic to Monette. You know, we've got four laning up through you know, on the eastern side all the way through Springfield, and then we bottleneck down to two lanes. That was voted as a priority, the first priority by the entire region. Branson was voted the second priority. So some of the other improvements, Joplin will have some improvements made to the I-49 corridor. This is being proposed. there's a study being done, which is not, that's not part of the three-quarter cent. We are studying I-44 for improvements in the future, but that's a commitment that we've already made. Let me get my list out. So, we have a map, which I know you saw at the meeting, and I don't like the map. It's pretty boring.
Yeah, but it was really helpful at that meeting for us to take a look at.
Okay.
I thought it was.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad, because I didn't think that the map to me was just little dots on the map, so I wasn't very impressed. But all of the information that I'm talking to you today about is on MoDOT.org, in case you guys want to look at it, because there's quite a bit of information out there. Let me get my list. Find it. There it is. For this region, one of the other improvements, it's actually in Stone County, but it has a definite effect on this area, is we're looking at improvements on Route 76 and Indian Point Road. Since Silverado City made improvements to their parking, used to be that their parking was what caused the backups, but now we just don't have enough capacity on 76 to handle that intersection, so that would be one of the things we look at. We're looking at several resurfacing projects, basically, what I told you earlier about Route 76, Route 65 from the high road all the way down to Arkansas, Route 376, they're in town in Branson. That road has not been touched in several years, and it needs it pretty badly. Route Y from 160 here to the end, 176 in the Rockaway Beach area, Route T, Route 248, they're in Branson. Repair work to three of the bridges on 76, which it says Kentucky Creek, Beaver Creek, and Caney Creek. So a lot of this is maintenance-type projects. A few of the projects are the big ticket items, and then a lot of it's maintenance. That's what we've been telling people all along. We tried to be real honest with people when we started putting this list together that we needed a significant portion of the money just to do maintenance. So I wish that wasn't the case because, you know, when you got to take 30 or 40% of it out for maintenance, then it keeps you from getting some of those more significant projects done. But that, unfortunately, is where we're at. It looked a little bit better. You know, we thought the list was going to be a little bit bigger when it was a 1 cent sales tax, but that wasn't going to make it through the Senate, so they brought it down to a 3/4 cent. And so the list reflects the money that's available to us.
Fellows, have any other questions or comments? No?
I have a comment. Did you visit with Randy about the salt contract?
I did. I told him that Mike Middleton would be the lead on that, but I sent Mike a note and told him to please call Randy. So.
All right. Was there another contract with MoDOT that we have, Randy? Do you know? I was thinking there was something else talked about. Okay. I'm going to bring up this issue about the must thistle along the ditch lines. I know I talked to you maybe last year, last about that. And what it does, it is a real, it's a war against this must thistle. And when there's farmers doing a lot of spraying to kill it, and then it's in the ditch lines. It's kind of hard for us to.
And we do have a spray program, but normally the thistle, by the time you're out spraying, you're almost too late.
It's too late, almost. I didn't know if there was a step up on that this year, especially with the Johnson grass growing at a rapid pace with all the rain.
We've got a product that we put on the Johnson grass. We've got a product that we put on the thistles and the knapweed.
Yeah.
And they're out doing that right now. But I'll be honest, it's just like with our farm. We've been out pulling thistles. We've been out spraying. There just doesn't seem to be enough time in the day to hit all this stuff before it gets big.
It's quick.
We got rain, and the rain was concentrated over a 2-week period, and so you didn't get anything done during that time period. And It's the same challenge every year. Right. Do we have if you've got a couple of locations, if you know Randy or somebody has a list, I will try to get them out there and see if there's something we can't do specifically to hit those locations. But as far as routes, they're going out and spraying, you know, each route. They either take out, depending on the route, they will take out a combination product so that they can hit the Johnson grass and the other weeds. Mm-hmm. Or if they, you know, if they don't have a Johnson grass problem, then they'll just take out the one product. But we've got products that we can mix together to hit both if we need to.
Yeah, it's and as you well know, the county invested because of this very issue in a spray truck vehicle that we try to take care of the county roads on. It's a real problem if you're one of the hard workers that gets rid of the thistle and your neighbor doesn't. It that turns into a real difficult situation. And it's a 3-year process just to get them killed off of your place.
Oh, at least.
So.
Yeah, the seed stays viable for, I've heard, up to 10 years.
Yeah, so anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up because they're.
Because he's mad at those thistles.
I understand. I look at each one of those. In fact, my shoulder kind of hurts from pulling. They were coming up pretty good about a week ago, and then it got hot and dry, and they're not coming up so good now.
I mean, you could be going through the same place and daily, and it just looks like that overnight here comes one up that's standing up with about to bloom.
I was driving into Springfield the other day on 65, and when we widened to 6-lane and we put those sound walls in, we had to disturb all the shoulder to put those sound walls in. Of course, that's the perfect opportunity for weeds to get started. And going into Springfield, we've got musk thistle, we've got teasel, we've got Johnson grass, and I'm not sure we haven't got knapweed started too. And it's just like we opened it up, and they just all showed up for the party.
And chiggers.
Oh, and chiggers. Let's not even talk about chiggers.
The power companies, you know, I don't know whether to help this problem, and this is discussion because I brought it up here, but where they cleared the big transmission lines,
mm-hmm.
and they brush hogged them, they sprayed them, and they brush hogged them down. And it let anywhere there's open ground, that thistle's going to appear. And you know, we sprayed hard for 2 years to kill and had a hold on, and then the transmission line is just absolutely covered in thistle. So it may be something that we have to address with those entities to see if we can't get some control over that. I don't know.
You know, I'm sure that they have obligations for their easements, just like everybody else.
Right.
I will talk to, Bradleyville, and I'll talk to Branson. But if you do have some locations that we have an issue, I will talk to them specifically about those.
Right.
So if Randy's got a list or somebody's got a list, that would be great.
Okay.
Because we have only one area, but we do have one area where. Mr. Ailey doesn't want us to spray, and so we don't spray in there, but we do try to maintain it in other ways. But I have a feeling that's not the area you're referring to anyway.
No.
So, okay.
All right.
Anything else?
Thank you very much. We appreciate you.
Okay. Oh, and Commissioner Williams, we will get back on the issue of the pedestrian crosswalks now that we've kind of got the PGA tournament out of the way, and we can get concentrated back again on those plans. So.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Flood Buyout Properties, Mr. Ashley, if you could join us. And why would that be?
That's everything.
Would you please inform her before you get back documents? Did you request it or did you give them all back? No, I haven't. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does it put into the minutes of these documents that were presented this morning? The gentleman has asked for them back. Please add to the minutes.
Yeah, to the public comment minutes. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Doing well, doing very well. I asked Ms. Mickey Davis if he could attend.
How are you?
Yes,
great.
In case there were questions about where we are in the process and where we're going from here, I thought Mr. Davis might be able to answer some things that potentially I couldn't answer. So,
well, I asked for this to be put on the agenda because I think that now that we're getting requests regarding the property, maintenance of the property, needs to be mowed, it needs to be cared for, etc., that obviously the only way we can chat about it is in formal discussion. So I asked to have it agendized. That was agreed to. And so I thought we could spur some discussion as to what our options are. Obviously, I know that the county can hold on to them as one option, and there are a number of restrictions that go along with that property. However, I believe that we should have the option that if we want to dispose of that property to an agency that would be qualified to accept them, like the Department of Conservation or someone else, that at least I'm hopeful that possibility would exist. Maybe there would be a surrounding property owner that would like to add to their property without and still have all the restrictions that are on the property. But for us to have the property down there, I think is just encouraging liabilities. And if that, in fact, is the case, we really need to address whether or not we want to maintain those properties. That's why we really have the discussion.
I do know, and you'll be able to answer more of this potentially than I will be able to. I know we've had Mr. Cotty review the deed restrictions, and he was concerned that potentially the county could not lease the property, for example, to adjoining property owners. But I know in conversations with Mr. Davis, he's had recent examples where entities have actually leased properties, from my understanding, both to adjoining property owners, if you have examples of like neighborhood organizations and things of that nature as well. But essentially, it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, that as long as we spell out in the lease agreement that essentially the same conditions are placed in the lease agreement that are placed in the deed restriction, and as long as we have...
Let me restate that. The county, number one, can the county sell the property?
No.
We can never sell the property.
Can't convey title of the property. Property has to stay in the county's name.
That was my understanding.
So Department of Conservation or any other state agency or federal agency? No.
You can lease it, but you can't sell it.
Can you all provide for us, for our council, that documentation so that we can provide them with that?
Sure.
I appreciate that. Okay, so we're down to that one option is we can lease, and I'm sure there are a number of restrictions that go along with that.
On a lease, and I've got some examples that I'm going to provide, Bob, that we've used in other jurisdictions. The lease mainly has to have the same restrictions as the deed restriction. And then the lease must get prepared and then be approved by FEMA prior to execution. So in other communities, both counties and cities have come up with a process of how they could determine leasing to adjoining property owners, and then they would put all the necessary restrictions that are required in there, but they also would put the restrictions that they wanted in there in regards to what the property owner had to do to keep the property maintained. So it wouldn't just be the deed restrictions that you can't build, but in some cases it said, you know, properly mowed, you know, if there was any trees trimmed, and then what they could use the property for, which would be open space. So we've had that situation. Because yours are not contiguous, so you don't have a large area, in other areas which wouldn't pertain to you, we've done soccer fields and baseball fields, but that's where we've had 50 or 100 in a kind of a contiguous area. So you're kind of limited based on where they're at. But where yours are, where they're separated, a lot of jurisdictions, so they're not hung with that long-term maintenance, have done a lease with adjoining property owners, the ones that wanted to, or a adjoining property owner, maybe not two, because it's hard to split it up. And most jurisdictions would put in there the requirement that they include in their insurance some kind of liability so that the liability is on them. If for some reason somebody gets on that property and has an accident, that it doesn't come back to the deed owner. But that's something the hopefully we could provide some examples, but the attorney could provide. So those are the big issues, and you hit it right on the head, is how do you reduce the maintenance, number one, so that you're not getting a call every time the grass gets a little high, or other issues, into the liability. So those are the ones that always come up on properties. And because of the program, the county or the governmental jurisdiction in a city has to keep title forever. And so that's your only options. But probably 80% of the ones we've done where they've been split up like the way your nine properties are, I'd say 75 to 80%, they've done something with adjoining property owners or with the homeowners association, created a community garden or something to reduce the two items that I talked about, maintenance and liability. And most times the liability protection is usually in the lease, and then requiring the person that leases it to have some kind of backup with some kind of insurance policy. And we're disconnecting utilities now and should have the asbestos inspections bid and done by the end of the month, and then the demolition bid, which is complex because of all the governmental agencies, will get published probably starting next week, but that'll take 34 days. So I'd say, August, September, these will start getting where they're vacant. I mean, you know, we'll take out the slabs, we'll take out the residential structures. There's no outbuildings on these. So we'll end up with a graded lot and with some kind of coverage, grass coverage of some kind. And so that's what you end up with. And so you know all the possibilities, what happens with that. And then because they are lakefront, several of them, not all of them, but several of them are, then you have that issue of somebody pulling up and going across the property and going to the lake. And the risk increases, I think, with that. The others we've had, I haven't had any that have been backed up to, some have been backed up to a smaller little lake, but more of a community little neighborhood lake. So those are the kind of issues you might want to post. Some have posted signs. Some have even posted nice little signs, so they're not ugly looking, but some have even posted signs once they've leased it. Said this property is owned by ex-governmental organization, you know, lease to for maintenance purposes. And, you know, like I said, they're not gaudy, but enough that says no trespassing, just so people are aware. Kind of one more issue to kind of help you with that risk issue if somebody does come across it.
One of them has a tennis court. One of them has like a nice little rock walkway out to the lake that you can fish off of. Will that stuff be torn out also, or could that be used by future? If it's a homeowners association, or if it's a...
the tennis court lot, since it was actually a separate lot, he's actually sold it to a separate property owner. So it's actually owned by a private individual. I'm trying to remember. I know there were a few structures going out to the boat docks, and it would be my understanding that those would be removed as part of the demolition process.
Anything that's on the property line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that, you know, we get into that dilemma on these, too, is that area that's federal, you know. One thing that might help them and help us as we're reviewing it is you might provide the commissioners, each one of them, we obtained a survey. So we have a survey. So if you had survey in front of you and then comparing it to the issue you're talking about, if there is something, maybe you can get it to them this week. And if there is a particular property that we need to talk about, like what you're talking about there, we could discuss it before we, you know, get a demo on it.
Well, it's just a rock walkway. There's no sense in tearing it out.
Yeah.
Why,
okay.
Why have you?
Well, if you can give him the specific address of it. I guess what we're really saying, though, we try to get the driveways out and stuff so you can maintain the property. And in these cases, unless you guys disagree, discourage anybody driving there and then going out to the lake without some kind of permission or somebody being responsibility for the liability other than yourself.
In that case, some of them have walls built there. So why, if there's going to be liability issues of people accessing the lake, I can't access it if it's got a wall there. I guess before demolition, are we going to be more involved in the process of?
Well, I think what we need to do, and I'll have Bob get you a survey and a picture of each of the properties. Well, or if you know them. Right. I guess what I'm saying, we need to make sure that we get that in the bid specs.
Well,
and we'll have time to adjust those.
Who's going to be writing the bid specs, I guess is my question.
I'm writing the bid specs.
So I think you need to work hand in hand with us on those bid specs.
We can up to the... We have so many restrictions. So if there's certain ones where you want certain things, if you let Bob know as soon as possible, then I can look at them and see if we can address them and still meet the requirements. And if we can't, I'll let you know. You know, I'm not going to arbitrarily make a decision. So if you could let him know on those, because some of them, there is no issue at all. The kicker is, though, the Community Development Block Grant requires us to bid them as a group. So if there's certain ones where I need to put something in there about a clause, about a particular piece of property, I need to put it in. Because they don't let us bid them separate. We have to grant them as one bid. There's insurance bonding requirements and stuff like that because of federal money we're using. So, but
my suggestion is that the county commission, Bob, and you go out there ASAP.
Okay.
And that we give you our thoughts on it. Because if I'm not mistaken, the county purchased the properties.
Yes.
The county owns
the
properties.
Yes,
and we need to have some input on what we're going to do with those properties, all within the parameters
right.
that are provided through
okay.
this program.
That is a good question, and in all sincerity, that's not anything that I had considered. I assume as part of this that some of these walls could remain, couldn't they? I mean, would there be an issue? You know, some of these, there are a couple of these properties that have large
walls
around them, basically.
By the road, keep
and that would
by the road.
Yeah, by the road. I mean that.
Okay.
That would limit the access.
Yeah,
I mean a great deal.
They allow us up to the opportunity to take care of concrete slabs and those things, but if there's a wall out there like that, that's fine because that's you know we're not adding anything. So we just need to. I think your point's very good. We need to, and we probably should have done it prior. Apologize for that, but Bob, we can get them out, and let's just get it so we can get. We are under restriction. We're going to ask for an extension for time, so we just need to specify those out. And just so you know, we have to publish the bid for like 3 or 4 weeks in a paper every week. But probably within mid July, I'll have a a pre-bid meeting with all the potential bidders, and we'll bring them in and kind of go over the requirements, let them ask any questions, and then we'll take them out on a tour so that we can specify out things that we pointed out so that they don't make a bid taking a wall out that we don't, or make a bid not taking out something. So in this case, because it's kind of a specific to each property, we'll have a pre-bid conference and probably make it, I'm checking with the Fed to make sure we can make it mandatory. We like to make it mandatory because that way the bidders knew they had to come and they go out and tour the properties. So that's our goal, but prior to that, and however your time, you guys' time is
I think you're going to find that we're willing to get out there ASAP, make some of these decisions, and well, probably because he's right there, let him be the liaison after we initially take a look at the properties.
That would be great. Call some shots.
And just take the camera, Bob, and shoot a picture when they say, hey, we'd like this wall to keep. In answer to your question, Mr. Williams, yes, we will. We will not only get your input, but we'll do it. And if we can't do it, we'll tell you why.
Right.
I know it was my understanding, talking to SEMA, that they prefer all the driveways be removed and things like that. But, I mean, being open with you, I mean, nothing's ever even come up from about walls or fences or anything like that. So, but I mean, I don't see why. I mean, that would definitely limit access.
We just need to post. We've needed to do this for some time anyway, as far as other projects too. We just need to post commissioners,
Bob, let's
road
talk today.
Bridge review and property review. Property review would probably cover it all. And the commissioners all go and look these situations over where we need to.
And just one other thing, so you know, so far I think we're up to date on all the reimbursements. So I think we're doing fine with that. We do have newspaper publications, and we'll recover that money, but we usually recover that closer to the end. So that's about the only thing, everything we spent. I think there might be a small little survey cost that we still got to get reimbursement, but just want to keep you updated. We told you at the end it wouldn't have any cost, and when we get done, we'll show you in writing, but and show you an accounting of everything. But I just want to let you know, so far you should be close to even with your budget, and maybe a little ahead because we had some proration and taxes that can't be paid. We prorate the owners; they pay till closing, and naturally we can't pay that till the end of the year. And there's some controversy how that works, but the bottom line is you have that money in your account. So it's already came back from the feds in the state.
And like you've indicated, the only thing we haven't submitted at this point for reimbursement is just some of the costs of postage and mailings. They require, they've got a minimum of 1,000. Anytime we make a submittal for reimbursement, it's got to be $1,000 or more. And so I've literally got a file where I'm waiting until I hit that $1,000 mark before I spend all these things. But the only costs, like Mr. Davis has indicated, really at this point are just the costs of newspaper advertisements and costs of mailings. We did also have some check costs also when we opened that account. But those are really the only things that haven't already been reimbursed at this point. It's pretty nominal costs overall.
Randy, do you have some questions?
Jonas, up until the point all this demolition, whatever, do you want us to continue to mow? I think we had some issues of neighbors, some grass.
I do.
Yeah, but now that I know that the tennis court isn't owned by the county, we need to not mow that one.
The tennis court. Okay, yeah.
So the tennis court was not included in the survey that was done for the lot?
There's two separate lots?
Yes, yeah. It is actually two separate lots.
I don't know if I'm sure they did. I don't know if they mowed it or not. But
I don't know either. I didn't know the buyout was done to where we were supposed to do that the last week. I don't know.
So unless anybody disagrees, yes, let's try to keep that,
that needs to be
kept up until we get something done with it.
And once we get a approval to go ahead for demolition, we'll let you know who it's going to be and when it is, so you know. And so you're not trying to go out and mow when they're tearing down. We'll keep in communications for you.
And I'm pretty sure he mowed the correct properties. We gave him a aerial photo of the properties too. So he was pretty familiar with which ones were.
Yeah. Well, it's all on the same.
Oh, exactly.
Behind the same wall.
You're right. So it is possible he.
I don't know.
He could have mowed it.
I know sewer district was down there disconnecting all the sewer.
Yeah.
Last week.
And we did find out early on, just as a side note, on the sewer disconnects, the grant funds are actually going to reimburse the sewer district for the costs of those disconnects. The sewer district and the American Water Company both have indicated that they would prefer to do their own disconnects. And so early on, I got something in writing from the sewer district and sent it to both SEMA and also the Missouri Department of Economic Development, and they both agreed that they would reimburse those costs.
Directly to them?
No.
Through the county?
It'll probably come through the county. Have to flow through the county.
Swimming pool down there also that we need to discuss what we need to do with.
On the swimming pool,
I'm just talking about temporary until you guys do the
demolition. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They pumped it out because of the concern for mosquitoes and other issues. But I don't know.
I want a kid to fall in it.
That's what I mean. So yeah. I don't know if we need to. That might be something we need to discuss, Randy. Do we need to just take some fill down there and fill it?
Fence it?
Well, it'd be cheaper to put fill in it.
Fence might be better, Randy, because on the environmental, we're going to have to.
Except for kids will climb it and fall in still.
Yeah. I guess I'm just saying you can't really. If you're going to fill, what we got to do as part of the environmental is the contractor's going to have to take that concrete and chop it up.
I wouldn't fill it with concrete. I'd fill it with dirt.
No, but I'm telling you what our requirement's going to be.
Oh, for the actual.
And if he fills it with dirt, then, I mean, it's okay. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to reduce the risk. If there's anything other than filling it, that'd be great. If you have to fill it with dirt, that's all right. Just let us know. Because they're going to have to come back in. Our requirement on environmental is tear those concrete walls out. And depending on how deep it is, we have to keep all the rock and stuff at least 2.5 feet below ground level after they put fill on it. And I don't want you to have to go all the work of breaking the walls out because it'd be hard to reimburse you outside of the demolition. But you guys talk it over, let me know. We're not going to figure it out, but you have a good point. It's at 196, yeah. I think, Foggy River Road.
Yes. The one other issue, and this is I think this will be fairly minor, and this will be taken care of as part of the demolition, but I just thought I should make you aware. I just became aware last week when they went to disconnect, when the sewer district began disconnecting these connections, they actually discovered at the first house at 196 Foggy River Road that there's an old septic tank. So as a part of this demolition process, we'll have to have that addressed as well. I mean, it appears like when they connected that house to sewer, they disconnected the septic tank, but they just left it in place and literally just went around it, essentially. And so the sewer district has already marked that location and everything for us. And of course, when we do take this tour with the contractors, we'll point all of these specific details out.
We might even handle that ahead of time. Bottom line is we'll pump it if it needs pumped, and we'll abandon it per the DNR requirements. And 100% of that will be covered by the grant. And we might do it outside. The more you add to a general contract when you demo, when they got to start subbing stuff out, they just usually up the cost. It's good. We only have to work with one person, but they usually up the cost. So I thought when they get all the disconnects done, if they find another septic or two, we'll just get three quotes and do that. You know, use a local septic. And then we have one well that we have to abandon at 229
Afton
Lane, yeah. And we'll take care of that. Yeah. So there won't be any environmental issues left that haven't been met to DNR requirement.
Now, all of the Foggy River Road properties are on public water, but unfortunately the Afton Lane property does have a well. It's the only one that's on a well. And then all nine properties are in sewer, so all nine are being disconnected. We have also contacted Empire District Electric, and they're completing all their electrical disconnects. It's my understanding they even wanted to salvage some of the service lines coming into the basin, and so I think they've completed the majority of that as well. So all of these will be disconnected from basically all utilities, and so we felt like at least that way when we did contract this out that we didn't have any concerns about this contractor potentially hitting some kind of utility service line of some type. I mean, they should by that point literally all be disconnected, everything.
Is there an environmental requirement for the well to be gotten
yeah.
rid of?
Yeah.
I know it'll have to be properly capped.
The well has to be abandoned.
Yeah.
If they did a garden down there, you just said garden, that'd be a good supply for water for a garden.
Yeah.
The government makes it hard to make anything right, doesn't it?
They do.
Yeah, common sense doesn't enter in.
Well, and I mean, there's...
Except for when you're dealing with the commission, right?
What's that?
Except when you're dealing with the
well,
commission.
Right. You're going to look at the walls and we can keep.
Exactly.
It's the feds, they write volumes and volumes.
I just wanted to hear that.
Well, that's a good discussion on that issue, and I think that we will post a immediate response to a visit to the site, and then we'll probably have Mr. Williams, who lives in the area down there, be the person to bring all the information back to the county commission, but we need to do that with some other properties that we have, so we'll just post it that way.
I think that would be great. I agree completely.
Anything else, sir? Anything else, Mr. Ashley?
Not that I can think of.
I think you've answered
point.
Our questions, and first thing for us to do is get together with you and tour that property and give you our insight, and then we'll see where we can go from there.
That would be great.
But to re-edify, we can't sell the property.
Correct.
We can lease the property.
With leased property with fire approval. And to make it so it doesn't get drug out, in the past what we've done, we can provide your attorney with some drafts. They got approved. They can draft a lease. And it doesn't, you don't have to submit each property as long as you use the same lease. So to keep costs down, let's say you wanted to do it to adjoining neighbors or somebody, you'd get the clauses in there that would probably be the same for all, if they would be. And then we'd send and get that approved. Then when you get it back, you can use it for each property. So you're not having to do, nine different ones and have cost build up for attorney cost.
Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
gentlemen.
Thanks.
Mr. Soutine?
Good morning,
sir. Good morning. We met briefly, was it last Thursday?
Yes.
And chatted about environmental services. And there were two or three things that we chatted about. One is, again, we've got three individuals within the county system that are providing environmental services and have been providing environmental services, at least two for the county through planning and zoning for a fairly long period of time. I don't know how long Mike has been doing water testing.
Mike's been since 1997, I believe.
I was at a meeting recently, and Mr. Casoletto gave another presentation, a brief presentation, but in the handouts it had our county logo on it. Mm-hmm. We were a part of the information that we utilized, and I was kind of proud to see that. You don't see that in other counties because other counties aren't involved in water testing, at least
yes.
that I've seen. But I thought that for the record, if we're going to be utilizing you and calling you an environmental services group or an environmental services department, we needed to formally do that because we never have formally done it. I know that you've created letterhead, and I know that that's gone out there, and people have seen that, and in some instances it's created some questions. But we need to formally do that. I hope we do it at budget time for the 2015 budget. But we don't need to move anybody. That was the discussion that we had. Was it Thursday, John?
Yeah, I believe it's Thursday.
Mm-hmm. We don't need to move anybody out of P&Z. We don't need to move John. But for the public's edification and to simplify processes and so that individuals will know where to come, the idea of the department of the office itself is a smart concept. Also, when we go to the website, mm-hmm. we have environmental services. That would be smart so that the public can tap into whatever those services are, whether it's water testing, whether it's a septic inspection, or whether it's dealing with you, as the cities and the sewer district do, and all the other things that we call upon you to do for sewer services. Now, we had asked John to put together, and he did, a couple of releases for us. But John, during prelim this morning, we were looking at the one release, and we thought in the formation of Environmental Services Department, formally, we might do this a little differently than,
that's fine.
Than what was...
You gentlemen were going to look at that and discuss that, and we hadn't had an opportunity to get back together, so that's fine.
Well, what I would like to do, if the commission agrees, is to work, let you two go through this, I know that you looked at it this morning, and make changes to help it flow better, and to go ahead and formally adopt or approve, if we will, an environmental services department so that we can use it the same way that you're currently using the name, and move forward from there, but to clean up the press release today and then allow you to send that out.
Yeah.
Along with that and following, I'm going to turn it over to you in just a minute. We had asked you to put together a press release, which you've done, for the County Commission's desire to create a program for the pumping out of septic tanks. And you have a press release here for that. And having read through that this morning, I thought that it looks real good.
Yeah, we'd had an opportunity to work on this one a little bit together.
And yeah, I'm gonna let Brandon reread through that. And
my only question is on the third paragraph down. Do we want to say that until we know what the cost is? And we won't know what the cost is until we get back the...
I think that what he's talking about is what we were saying in the press release, and what I thought we had agreed to is the county's going to pay to pump out the septic tanks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to charge the landowner. And then what John has following is a list of
program requirements.
Criteria and program requirements, and all that will mesh together so that if someone comes and they don't meet those criteria, we're not going to be pumping that out. But if it falls within that,
and within the midline of the county is, either we're going to the puppet or not puppet based upon what those bids come back.
But that will have no consequence on whether we're going to do it or not. It may be, it may affect the number, but it won't affect the fact that we're planning on doing it. That's the way I see it. As far as the,
so we'll do less of them. If the
do less, right? If the bids come in, we've got a certain dollar figure that we want to work with, and so that main part of it, in that that you're concerned with, I didn't see any, Brandon, and I know you're looking at it one way or the other, a different way on it. But
yeah, no, I read it. I just, when I dropped the call on you with you guys, that was my question I started to get into with you, if you remember. I was asking if we'd gotten the bid, what the, where the bid process was on.
Yes, right.
And that's why I was asking that.
Right.
Lead up to.
Now, the bids officially, we're going to receive those at the end of June, right?
Yeah, the bids are due back on June 30th at 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
My belief is, and I understand it's a tax, I understand all that, but if we have them have a little bit of a vested interest in it also, minimal amount, I think more people would feel more proud about doing it, and I think you'd be able to help more people because the money will go further, as opposed to just 100% free. I don't care if it's $25.
Program that we had before, we went through the sewer district, because people had to pay something, they chose not to do it. So what we have are a number of septic tanks out there that today are at capacity and running out of the ground because they just flat refused to do it. So we're really addressing, if I'm not mistaken, a number of those that, I mean, there are people who have just let it go beyond, any reasonable lengths. I mean, we have sewer that's literally running out of the ground. So at least my thinking was, if we could at this time address those, and we know where some of those are at, we know that we can get them pumped out. We know that we can immediately clean up and protect some of our streams and lakes.
Brandon, and they will have a cost. They will, having done this before, that just the search for the tank, the location, the dig out, they'll have to hire somebody to do the dig out for this to take place. They will have a certain amount of cost that they have to endure, but that's something that I'm glad you bring up all these points because they need to be addressed, but we've trying to figure this out to where it is in the best interest of getting more and more tanks pumped, especially this will be a short year as far as budgetary times are. We can kind of get an estimate. This comes out and probably be in effect the 1st of August or so, won't it, with the bids? Or maybe even before.
Well, the plan is now to, you know, the bids are due back on June 30th at 2 p.m., Mr. Erickson has it set up to open the bids publicly in this room at 10 o'clock on July 1st. And then we discuss the possibility of making a recommendation to the commission that next day.
But it could. Our discussion Thursday, the follow-up where it cut off was, those are the days that we're having Board of Equalization.
Mm-hmm.
And Board of Equalization, this if I'm right, doesn't pay until 9 a.m., correct? That we have commission 15 minutes or 30 minutes prior to one of those meetings just so that we can address this and get things rolling. As long as we post and go through the motions that we're required to do, we would be able to do that. So our hopes were to get started sooner.
Right. Well, that gives it, and it'll give us an idea of the participation from for a six-month period of the number of people that's going to be involved because they'll.
My concern to John, even at this, and paying for the pumping cost, that the other people will be able to say no because there are other costs that they're going to have to incur to get this done, more than likely.
Well, if they have to locate their septic tank or they have to, you know, dig to get to the inspection hatch to get to the tank. I mean, that's some cost there. Both haulers in Taney County can do that service, and it varies because they're just so different. You know, the depth to the tank could be a lot different than yours.
Which is one of the reasons why we agreed we didn't need to incur that cost.
Well, it's just hard to gauge what that cost would be.
Right.
And that, you know, if it's a significant excavation, I mean, that could limit two septic tanks being pumped just to uncover that one tank, you know. So as far as we've got a limited amount of dollars.
Those people probably won't do it anyways then.
Some of them won't.
Well, they might not. Some might. I mean, yeah, the cost to have a tank pumped out is $135, $140. So getting out there and doing that bit to save that kind of money, though, that might be a, you know, an incentive to somebody to go ahead and go to the effort to try to excavate their own tank, possibly, you know.
The person that let raw sewage go out on the land more than likely won't pay to excavate or do it themselves.
Yeah.
Could be wrong.
Well, if that's occurring, then that's where we need to do enforcement actions and encourage those people to come in and let them know about the program. And that would be a large part of trying to fix that system would have to be having the tank pump to try to discern what the problem is. But, yeah. It was very successful the first time we did it with the sewer district. I mean, we went through those funds within 3 months. Of course, we only had around $10,000, but that was 135 septic tanks at the time. But we didn't have any money left over. You know, we actually had people on a waiting list. So I think it's a good thing. It's just to make sure that the information gets out there, and it's constantly put out there. I have some flyers prepared. I plan to go to all the businesses in Taney County that will put one up, and with the news media here's help, and any of the other media forums that's out there to try to get that word out. But and just in general discussion, I've already had some people that's heard about this that are very interested, probably around 6 to 10 people. So, and it hasn't even really been formally approved yet, and that's what I shared with them. So there's an interest there, and it's a good thing.
What's your thoughts on announcing this formally today?
If you guys want to do free instead of a small fee, that's fine. And I understand your reasoning. So.
And again, it's the cost of having the septic tank pumped up contents.
Right.
So we're trying, and then he's got it more specifically stated.
In the requirements, yeah, that's all that.
Yeah.
And I, before in his press release, a lot of that was covered. And I said, actually, if we can get them to call in, then we've generated some interest. And then when they find that cost, you know.
And it's gridded out. I think the bids are gridded out because of the where the location is, you know, the far eastern part of the county. The haulers will have a different bid on it versus the ones that are in the more localized, and, you know, so.
Yeah, it seemed like Forsyth and Branson in this area is around 135 to 140, but, you know, Pro Tem, Cedar Creek, Brown Branch, and Bradleyville. Seemed like Garrison Cutoff on east was, you go up to $170. And Mr. Exton set it up, as Mr. Strahan pointed out, in a zip code, using zip codes for the town might not be incorporated, but it's still a designated location. And the cost will be the same for most of them, but then it will show the outlying areas in that amount that they're willing to do that for, the ones that's on out there in the extremities of the county. I would say that the criteria is not really that exotic. It's just basically, you know, if you've got a central wastewater system connection there that's readily available to connect to, we would encourage you to use that rather than stay on a septic system, you know, which is the best thing to do if that is available. But, you know, if you're pumping your tank out in as part of a requirement to connect to a public sewer system, we wouldn't want to reimburse that. We're trying to to gear this money toward people that's going to remain on a septic system for some time. And that's basically the criteria, other criteria we've already talked about here. So it's nothing highly exotic on anybody. It's just common sense criteria.
And we've already established that, at least me, as commissioner, has common sense.
Yes.
As the earlier.
Yes, I remember that.
With the flood buyout properties.
What do you think our first step would be, unless there's opposition with the county commission, to finish this? I can make changes and send to you, or we can all work with you and send you our changes, and you can incorporate them. I'd like to do that ASAP.
Fine.
But so that we have a central point of contact for environmental services that are currently being provided by Taney County and through Taney County, that we need to formally establish we have an environmental services department. Is that doable, guys? Either that or we need to get away rid of what you've already created in the way of paperwork that's going out there saying that.
Well, in my office, nothing says department. I do have a letterhead that says Taney County Environmental Services. And my card says that. There's nothing I have. I just wanted to clarify that, you know, that I haven't gone there, you know.
I mean, there just needs to be emphasis that there's no new employees, there's no new expenses incurred by doing this. It's three individuals that are already working for the county doing these jobs, and they'll just be under the umbrella of that with no new incurred costs.
This is an effort to establish a location, a phone number, email address, location for the public to reach service through the environmental services.
We've got people currently that call planning and zoning. We've got people currently that call the sewer district. Mm-hmm. We get people that currently call.
I get a call every now and then on a number of things.
In our office, mm-hmm. I'm sure the county clerk's office does. And this was helped centrally locate where those calls should be coming. Mm-hmm. Also, we can take advantage of the website that we have and create an environment there. So it would really be helpful, I believe, for the public.
Sure.
Yeah, we.
So can we formally do that, gentlemen? And then your opening line is, the Taney County Commission would like to announce the creation of the department within county government will provide public assistance and address environmental issues. And you speak in here, in the press release, John, to the fact that it currently is employees that are working with in the county system that are providing services. We want to make sure that that's covered to.
Yes.
To our satisfaction.
Yeah. Let me know, and I can redraft this and recirculate it until we get to where we're comfortable with it.
Gentlemen, I would entertain a motion to create a department within county government entitled Environmental Services. Then to send out a press release explaining what we're doing.
Well, I'll make that motion. Environmental Services Department, or you're not going to just, you're just going to put Environmental Services. That's fine with me. If you want to put
what's your motion, Dan?
To go ahead with the creation of an Environmental Services Department.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to create an Environmental Services Department. Discussion. For clarification, within our minutes, we're not bringing in new employees, we're not providing new services. That would be incorrect. Strike that. We're not bringing in new employees because we're getting ready to pump septic systems. That's a new service.
Yeah.
We're going to be, we're We are creating this department to better serve the public.
Probably better label what we already do.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Correct. Gentlemen, we have in front of us a press release regarding the Tampa County Commission's septic tank pump out program. If the verbiage is right, we can have John release that. If it's not, let's make changes and we can continue this discussion and then do it. The commission has already moved forward on providing this program, haven't
they? We had direction to go ahead and get bids submitted out and everything, and from that, my mind was that we were going to move forward with the program.
Did we vote on it?
I don't believe so.
We probably need to do that.
There was direction to go ahead and submit bids, but I don't think formally we ever voted on the program. I think you're correct on that.
I know there's been a couple of articles in the press, has there not, about this program and thoughts that we've had? I just don't remember ever formally. Me too, that's right.
No. I think we talked about it several times. And then there was Ron Erickson and I had discussed it with you, and one of the other commissioners. Yeah, I don't think we ever had formally approved it.
That's fine.
Motion.
You want to establish the fact we're going to do the program first?
I think that I'm really interested in doing this program, and I know you gentlemen are interested in doing this program. We have not formally stated we're going to do this program. A motion would be in order to accomplish this. It's probably the title that's up there.
Just the title, and then the motion.
Whatever you...
The motion to establish Taney County Commission Septic Tank Pump Out Program.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded that the commission establish a Taney County Septic Tank Pump Out Program. Discussion. In that discussion, I would note, John, that you probably should send out the press release and that you should work with IS on establishing the criteria on our website and answer questions of the media, if you will. Take this, that you have all the information about it.
I'd be glad to.
And announce when the bids are going to come in, when the program will be available, and so forth.
Yeah. Does that have a just his contact number, or is there other contact number?
His contact number is here, and his email number is here.
Okay.
Yeah, I've talked to Scott and Mike, Mike Cole and Scott Stewart about this. They said that they would be glad to help if I should need assistance on any of these things. They discussed the things that they were into right now and stuff, and as busy as they were, they would rather I handle these issues, but they're there if I need backup for sure.
I wish you would work with the media on what we're doing specifically, and I do know that they have...
There's a county phone number and your phone number, your cell number?
My cell number's not on here, and I can't provide that on here.
You're in the field a lot whenever I talk to you, you know, so
sometimes.
I would, if it be your way, I'd rather have your cell on there so that you can at least take a contact. Mm-hmm. Somebody might have information, need information, and you would be ready available, because you do have other work that you're doing for the county in meetings with the cities and villages and things. That's the main priority job, and so I would like for you to have your, at least your number for contact information.
And we can do that for sure. It's a good suggestion.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
John, we've been talking about this a long time, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Delighted to move it forward.
Good deal. Me too.
It's exciting.
Thank you, John. What we get into.
State audit comments. Gentlemen, I asked that this be on there in as much that I met with the deputy state auditor last week in Jefferson City, Harry Otto. We talked about the upcoming release of the state audit, which is going to be on July 1st, that evening at the Forsyth High School, 6 p.m. We have a room that will accommodate more people in this room as well, just in case people are there and the public shows up for the auditor's comments. So discussion, as I understand it, regarding the state audit. My real intention of meeting with Mr. Otto was to clarify some of the parts of the audit that talked about county commission. And in our open discussion about that, there are a number of areas within the audit itself that he and I talked about wherein the commission is advised and will be advised publicly, and I have agreed with him to let him announce what all those areas are going to be rather than discuss them. But he feels that the commission needs to have some oversight in some of the policy decisions that are interdepartmental within the county courthouse. And I have told him that I would support that effort when following the audit when it comes out. The three of us have a discussion. But what it will entail is having someone or within a position to do that and to represent all those findings to us on a daily, weekly basis, however it is designated. Now my question to you today is, do we want to wait until the audit's released, or do we want to begin the undertaking of drafting a job description for someone that will undertake? What we're going to be requested to do and have that ready in place so that when the audit does come out that we can move forward. So what I'm really saying is, do we want to put the job specs together, announce it, and then do a job search of individuals?
With it being the 23rd, it's not going to give us that. Now, I'd rather just wait.
I don't mean that we would, in fact,
no, but
put somebody in place by that time and right. Start the process.
I'd like to wait on public comment, wait for the release of it, public comment, get their intake, or their input, and then go from there as far as what needs to be done.
Well,
I feel pretty confident we're going to have some public comment.
Well,
my position will be before or after that we need to comply with the state audit findings.
Right. I basically am willing to go ahead and place a person in a position as to the request of that you said that you're making of someone for oversight. If that happens sooner than later, we're going to be going through a BOE session. We're going to be going through several things in the county before that August 1st date. Is that what you're saying, the August 1st meeting?
July 1st is when the...
July 1st
is when the meeting is.
That's when the state auditor will be here.
Okay. I would like to show a good faith effort that this county commission asked for this audit, and anything that is requested by the auditor, that we make a serious effort to comply with, and the fact that there is going to be a need for a person with oversight over these deals, which have been, but that's what you're saying this morning, I guess, is that there is a going to be a oversight from the commission on certain issues that's in the audit. So it's my willingness to go ahead and start trying to put that together with a, with if we have a job title or description or whatever's needed.
Let me rephrase this so maybe we can all, because I want us to all come to an agreement of some type or another. Your point's well taken. The state audit's going to be released, what, we're going to be a week from tomorrow or today? July 1st? Be a week from tomorrow, I guess. And, but what I'd like to do is start putting together thoughts on a description, and then I can have
one. I'm just wondering if someone
send it out to us just so that we have that in place and make changes, thoughts, building it. It'll save us a week or two of doing that later.
I think the description might change after public comment and after, you know, actually being able to discuss things with the state auditor.
Well, I have it over you there because I've done that, but public comment's not going to change my thinking about what the state auditor has to tell us.
The only thing that I see is the absolute need of, like I said, it's a work of good faith showing that we are putting something together. There may be additional things that we want to add to this person's job duties, but the fact that we have been directed to do this by the state auditor makes it, I think the quicker the better. It looks like a good faith effort. There may be changes to what they do, but I mean, I think it's a good thing to start working on.
Well, we've all seen the audit, but they also took the copy away from us. We don't have a lot to work with other than our memory. I feel like we're talking in code because it's not public. I don't think it needs to be discussed or anything until.
We don't have to. I can discuss anything that I had with the conversation I had with the deputy state auditor last week, and I'm glad to do that. And there was a copy there, and we didn't go through it. However,
but did they not take away our copies?
Here, yes.
Yeah. And
yes.
So,
yeah.
And they asked us not to take notes. They asked us not to on those specific copies. So that's where my thought is I would be going into it blind. Not blind, but off memory, as opposed to having a copy in front of us, tell us exactly, directing us where we need to be directed.
Fair point. And I agree that that's a fair point. I, on the other hand, going ahead and draft something. I'll send it out to you after. We have the state audit on Tuesday, which is returned to the county and is given, and you all can take a look at it at that time and add to or subtract from. I'm just trying to get a jump on what's going to be needed because we're going to have a full month, although I'm hoping that DOE doesn't take a full month. And from all indications, it's not going to. Is that all right? Is that all right?
Is that all right? No, it's not all right with me, but I will voice my opinion of and remind the two commissioners that we were the ones that asked for this audit.
Well,
the two.
Not we. I mean, if you want to be specific, Taney County Commission at that time did. I wasn't a part of that commission. I'm not against it. I'm not. That's not my point. My point is, anyways.
Well, whenever I say we, I mean the commission. The Taney County Commission asked for this audit to correct anything that we might be doing as a commission,
right,
or any other departments might be doing that needed to be corrected. And I'm perfectly willing to step to the plate anytime to straighten out anything that needs to be corrected. The establishment of a person to help us with this oversight of this is something that we need anyway. I mean, it's apparent that we need it.
And I'm not saying we do or don't.
Yeah.
So wait till the audit is simply official.
Okay, now here's my only question about that. And that's fine. A number one, that's fine. But we enter BOE, and if you sat through 1 year of BOE, and we know that we have less BOE according to the what's come in so far. So here we are trying to have short meetings for the commission that have already been scheduled, and BOE taking up the rest of the time. We're going to be through the middle of next month before there can be any serious discussion about how we want to lay out this
I guess my point is until it's public, we're going to be talking in code. And you know what I mean, not talking in code, but we can't just lay it on the table and have these discussions until it's public. And it won't be made public until Tuesday night.
I think you're both right. Is that a good, appropriate spot in the middle
and that's
for
fine.
Me to take? And I truly do. That's not just politics. I believe you are both right. You both have good points. I will start scratching out what Mr. Otto and I talked about last week. I will make that available to you gentlemen formally following the state audit, release the state audit, and then we can have discussions regarding this issue from that point forward. You're also right. It was, I think, February of 2012, or very close to that time, that I laid out, and I think I read it in the minutes, reasons for asking for a state audit. And there were a number of issues that were in that letter that are going to be discussed a week from tomorrow night. And we'll move forward at that time. Let's approach it from that perspective. I am going to try to get a jump on it, which will save some time for the future. And then we can work on or get rid of or start completely over following the state audit that comes a week from tomorrow night. And again, that's going to be at 6 o'clock. It's going to be at the Forsyth High School. And unless you guys have something else to say about this issue, let's stand in recess until... We may go into executive session following the state audit comments. I don't know what that's regarding.
I don't know.
Emergency situation? Pardon me?
Elkins has published that you don't start STO until the 24th.
I'm sorry. Is this something we're dealing with that's agendized with the county commission right now?
It's not on the agenda, but I mean...
We're not going to discuss it.
Okay.
If one of us can chat with you and recess about it here in a minute, but we can't formally discuss that. Unless we're...
I'm sorry? I just discovered it.
I'm sorry? Okay. Let's stand in recess until 11 o'clock. Well, it is 11 o'clock.
Ron,
let's go into executive session upstairs. We'll stay in a recess till we get up there for
right.
Executive session as posted.
Right.
Right, and that is a meeting with the...
Legal counsel.
Legal counsel. That's what that's on, mm-hmm. So...
Christy will stay in recess till we...